Come on to my house, in my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, in my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and apricot, I do.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Krista Sinodinos. She is the director of the Northwest School for Botanical Studies, and she's been studying and working with medicinal herbs since 1989. In 1998, she founded the Northwest School for Botanical Studies. And we're going to talk about something a little different with food today. We're going to talk about foraging. And that's something that, you know, people get introduced to in different ways. How were you introduced to foraging?
I was initially introduced to foraging through my grandparents. I had a grandfather who wildcrafted mushrooms and picked some wild plants and also was a hunter. And then my grandmother was of Greek descent on the other side of my family. And she basically knew how to forage dandelions and nettles and some of the most common greens that grew in Michigan and incorporate those into foods.
You know, it's kind of an interesting thing, this idea of foraging for foods. After World War II, agriculture was seen, you know, basically as kind of man conquering nature. And, you know, it became kind of lowbrow, I guess, to go out and to forage for some of the foods. And that's kind of changed recently. I've noticed, you know, a lot of the magazines showing things like ramps and miner's lettuce on Chez Panisse is doing miner's lettuce. It's kind of become she to do that.
It has been.
And have you heard from some of your students in your school that they're interested in some of the aspects of using the wildcrafted foods in their cooking?
Absolutely. They love to incorporate the herbs into their cooking and into the foods. That's, for a lot of students, that's one of their favorite parts of the class is when they can learn those local plants that grow and that they can forage, make soups and pestos out of.
So when you're out there and foraging for plants, what sorts of plants are your favorites to forage for?
I would say in early spring, some of my favorite plants are chickweed. And it's really light, delicate green. It's kind of salty and mild tasting. I love miner's lettuce. That's delicious. Bittercress or watercress are nice, spicy, kind of pungent herbs in the brassica family that add a little character and flavor to your soups. Dandelion greens are delicious and readily available as long as you make sure you have the true dandelion and not hawksweed or some of the other lookalikes. Fiddlehead ferns are absolutely delicious and wonderful in sautéed form, or you have to cook them and prepare them. What else? Nettles are phenomenal, nutrient-dense green that can be steamed or cooked in soups.
You know, it's funny with the nettles. I've talked about cooking the nettles with my husband. He thinks I'm crazy. He's not willing to. Somebody was telling me about a nettle cannelloni recipe, and I thought, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, so like a spinach? Does it taste like a spinach?
It's similar to spinach. It's a little more astringent, but you can basically prepare that like you would any other spinach dish. I've made a spanakopita or the spinach pie with nettles. I've made cannellonis, nettles lasagna is delicious, nettles calzone. You can incorporate it into cream sauces, soups. If it's cooked, you can incorporate it into pestos.
And is that a native plant or is that a non-native plant?
That is a native plant.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And it seems like places where I see them, I see lots of them.
Yeah, they usually grow in colonies. And so if you harvest, you know, maybe one in 10 plants, it'll make sure to leave enough of them to seed. And then it also spreads through the root colonies as well. So it's pretty prolific once you find a nice healthy patch.
And then you want to be careful to pick those with gloves.
Yes, you pick them with gloves. And that, of course, needs to be cooked into soups or steamed properly. Some people can eat it raw, but it can be dangerous to do that. Basically, they have little stingers that have formic acid, and they can cause little welts on people's hands or wherever, you know, if you're picking them, you have to kind of be careful when you're harvesting because they'll sting you. And it's deactivated by the steaming process or cooking them. So it's important to do that because if you're sensitive to those, or for instance, if you're allergic to bees, that could actually cause anaphylaxis and cause your throat to swell.
Okay.
Yeah, so make sure
you could take it easy with
that properly.
Okay. So let's talk about some of the things that that you should consider when you go out there. And the first one, I think, is knowing your plants.
Yes, absolutely. So I would definitely recommend going out with a knowledgeable herbalist or botanist who can properly identify their plants and knows them like the palm of their hand. You know, they should really know their plants well. And I do recommend watching them through the seasons, actually, before you start harvesting on your own. So kind of monitoring the plant populations, watching the plant through all its different stages, through leafing, flowering, seeding stages, to make sure you have the correct herb or plant.
And then knowing where to collect, I think, is really important, too, because just because it's out in the wild doesn't mean it's really a safe plant to eat.
That's true. It's really important not to collect around busy roads, around roads in general, because there's a lot of runoff and pollution. It's important not to collect around railroad tracks because there can be older sprays. And I know people who've gotten like liver toxicity from harvesting around railroad tracks. And so you want to ideally be at least 40 feet away from any road. And there can also be like toxic runoff from industrial pollution or just, you know, if you're downstream from a pulp mill plant, for instance, that can be a dangerous place to harvest nettles. A lot of those plants will pull in some of the toxic metals. So you really have to be careful where you harvest.
Okay. And then also, you know, I've noticed people, you know, spraying. And if it's land that belongs to somebody, you know, like it's a right of way for something, they might be going through there and spraying with some sort of defoliant.
Absolutely. They'll do that with blackberries. And I've heard even in Crescent City, I know somebody who got poisoning from just picking all the blackberries and preparing them. And their whole family actually got incredibly ill from consuming plants that were sprayed.
Wow.
So it's really important to be careful. And it is one of the main concerns. You may want to find a farmer who you can go like weed, pull the weeds out of their field. You know, a lot of them have a surplus of chickweed or pigweed or some of the other local plants that, you know, are organic and you don't have to worry about the toxicity from sprays.
And so another thing is, like you said, choosing things and the season in which you should eat them. Mm-hmm. And some of those greens probably aren't even as tasty if you tried to eat them in off season.
It's true. They become more bitter, a lot of them, especially once they start flowering and seeding. And so a lot of the greens are better to consume earlier in spring, April. There's some out actually right now, but they're pretty small. I've seen some bittercress and some watercress. So basically your greens you're usually consuming in the spring and early summer. And then, you know, you start getting more of your berries. Well, you can forage your seaweeds basically from spring through early summer as well. And then some of the berries are more like late summer and fall.
Yeah. And then one of the things, too, about taking the plants is making sure that you leave something behind so that you're not just ripping the whole plant root and all out of the ground.
That's right. So you want to be selective when you're picking foliage. Some of the plants like dandelion, you're just, you know, you're definitely leaving the roots, but you're pulling just a few of the leaves. And I usually recommend, I guess it depends on the plant, but about a tenth of the patch because, you know, somebody else is going to come behind you probably and get their nettles for the week or, you know, so you want to make sure you don't overharvest the plants and take into consideration the plant populations.
And then another thing is how to prepare it, because like you said, with the nettles, you know, they can, you know, sting you if you're trying to handle them in their raw. Mm-hmm. Also things like acorns being, you know, leached to leach out the tannins mm-hmm. out of those so that they're edible.
Yes. Yeah. The tannins can really dry out your mucous membranes in your tissues and, you know, cause constipation, upset people's stomach. So that's why one of the important things about leaching the acorns is just pulling out some of those tannins so that they don't upset the stomach.
And that sort of thing always makes me wonder, like, you know, who really first thought about, you know, this is how to prepare acorns, how to leach those tannins out of them? Or, mm-hmm. you know, my favorite is the oyster. Who ever looked at that and said, now this will be tasty, you know? This is kind of a trial and error thing historically.
And probably the process of evolution, people like, you know, they died, you know, there's a toxic plant.
Really?
Or they'd watch animals, you know, they'd watch birds and kind of observe some of the animals and what they'd eat. And that's one of the ways what plants are toxic and non-toxic. And, you know, mushrooms, one of the things you have to be incredibly careful with because you consume one plant, you know, they've got toxic alkaloids that can destroy your liver. And you could die within 24 hours if you're not properly identifying the mushrooms. I'm extra careful about harvesting those. So
that's one of the ones, too, that you maybe don't want to watch. You know, does an animal eat it, you know, or not eat it? Because, you know, it could be animals, you know, have some sort of way to protect themselves from some of the toxins in something and that the humans don't have.
Yes, it's true.
Yeah. And some of the things that you use to make teas that have maybe some medicinal qualities, what are some of the things that are foraged for locally?
Locally, I absolutely love nettles tea, and I think it's a great way to nourish the body. It's rich in chlorophyll and vitamin A and C and numerous other trace minerals. Wild oats is another plant that's usually a garden escapee, but that's also nutrient dense and has a lot of calcium and magnesium. You can harvest, of course, the blackberry leaves, and they're kind of astringent, have uterine tonifying properties. What else? There's so many plants. Fennel's an invasive weed, but the seeds are really delicious and excellent for improving digestion, have carminative properties, decreasing gas and bloating. There's so many plants you can make tea of here locally.
Well, of course, and you have a whole institute that talks about this sort of thing. So if people are interested in finding out more about the Northwest School for Botanical Studies, where should they go?
I'd recommend looking up the website, which is www.herbaleducation.net, or if they just Googled Northwest School for Botanical Studies, it'll take you to the website.
Well, it's been great learning more about some of the plants that we can forage for here in Humboldt County. This is Jennifer Bell, and I've been talking with Krista Sinodinos from the Northwest School for Botanical Studies. Thank you, Krista.
Thank you very much, Jennifer.
Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and apricot, do I?
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.